Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of TGP Radio. As always, I am your host, Ben. Week 6 is here. Let's get the show underway. I guess I'll preface this show by saying that this is a generally very terrible slate of games for this week. Incredibly disappointing, but we'll get through it usually like we always do. Just a bunch of uninteresting, unentertaining matchups abound throughout this entire week. Saddens me a little bit, especially when you figure the nightcap is Patriots-Colts. Who knows if Andrew Luck's going to play. I do know, however, the Colts aren't going to win. And all we're going to get after the game is inundated with, oh, the Patriots got their revenge. Isn't that awesome? No, it's not. Because we're going to have to listen to it for weeks. And it sucks. So thank you. Sports talk radio and sports talk TV shows. Thanks for that. For beating me over the head with it. And it hasn't even happened. But it's going to. It will. Because it always does. Yes, I might be a tad bitter. It's possible. Week 6 this week, and let's get started on these terrible, average, very meh games. Here we go. I guess the first game of interest that we'll start with, which isn't a good game by any means, but is I suppose an interesting one given what's happening, and that is the Cincinnati Bengals travel into Buffalo, take on the E.J. Manuel-led Bills. And that's really the only reason why this game is a game of note and is being discussed, because of E.J. Manuel. Tyrod Taylor hurt, banged up, not going to play, so in comes E.J. Manuel. Unfortunately for him, it comes up against the Bengals, not exactly the easiest of all matchups for your for your first start of the season, probably the last. I'm assuming Tyrod's ready to go next week. And so yeah, Bengals coming off a very nice overtime win last week against Seattle. Bills coming off a win late against the Titans, which might have said last week I thought the Titans were going to win. I don't know. I don't remember if that was one of the games that I covered or not. Might have been. Might not have been. Don't remember. But anywho, I don't know, for E.J. Manuel and the Bills to actually win this game. Be kind of nice, just because, you know, EJ is usually, well, not very good, has been great, and it'd just be nice for him to maybe have a career resurgence. Not necessarily going to happen. He's kind of EJ Manuel, and who knows exactly what you're going to get as far as that goes. But, yeah. And really, it's probably going to have to be him, because Anthony Dixon, running back, I'm assuming assuming Carlos Williams can't go. I mean, it's not good. Not a good game. Not an interesting game, with the exception of the fact that E.J. Manuel's getting the start. That's interesting. But other than that, lame game, uninteresting game, and this week is filled with similar games like it. Awesome. That's what we get to look forward to. We'll say, though, very nice win by the Bengals last week. Really glad that they were able to pull one out. Things looking a little bit shaky there for a while. They got it done. Got accomplished. Took out Seahawks. Awesome. Lame game. I really might try to just cover all of these. Suppose we could. I suppose. Denver goes in Cleveland, take on the Browns. Denver 5-0 despite Peyton not playing well at all. Throwing picks, not throwing touchdowns. Running game isn't helping out. Neither Ronnie Hillman or C.J. Anderson are doing good at all, which, you know, there's that. The offensive line is bad, not good. Defense, however, is great. You're going up against a Cleveland Browns team who, you know, won last week against the Ravens in overtime. It's kind of cool to see, especially since I took the Browns. That was awesome. Josh McCown threw for, I think, what was it, 428 yards. You know, good on Josh for doing that. You're not doing that against the Broncos this week. You're just not. You might get some fluky plays to Benjamin. Might happen with that. Maybe get some fluky plays to Johnson. But you can't fluke it all over the place. And defensive side of the ball, Browns are going to be without Joe Hayden and Tayshaun Gibson, two nice players. And you've got to figure if Peyton is or was ever going to bounce back and have a decent offensive performance for once, it'd be against the Browns this week. Everything is primed for rebound. Primed for it. Locked and loaded. Will it happen? I have no idea. At this point, I don't know what to expect from Peyton. Things that are there, there's drops that happen that could improve Peyton's stat line, what have you. I don't know. I mean, Peyton could go 0 for, you know, 0 touchdowns, 2 picks again, and the Broncos could still win the game. It could happen. Very well happen, because I don't know what we've got in Peyton anymore. So, guy needs to bounce back, though. Get everything going again, because next week, home against Green Bay is not going to be pretty if he's not right. So, Peyton, know you're listening. Need to get together. Need you on this. All right. Yeah, so this game, Broncos win. At least they should. Doesn't mean they will, but they should. And hopefully Peyton returns to form. Be nice. Would definitely be nice, both for the Broncos and for fantasy leagues everywhere, and particularly owners of Peyton Manning and other wide receivers on that offense. Of lame import. The Chicago Bears take on the Detroit Lions. And this is a terrible – every game. AFC North used to be fun. Games between the teams used to be fun. Things were good. I've said before that I have an affinity for most of the teams in the AFC North. So usually when two AFC North teams play each other, I actually like, kind of, I don't want to say bums me out, but the games usually aren't all that interesting because, you know, one team has the blues. It's fun when you like both teams. So there's that. For this game, I have no idea really what to expect. On the one hand, the Bears aren't very good. On the other hand, the Lions aren't very good, as evident by their fact that we're 6 weeks into this, or really 5 weeks into this, and they have yet to garner a win. Granted, they should absolutely have beaten the Seahawks 2 weeks ago, thanks to a the refs not doing their jobs, not catching plays that are against the rules and the like, could be 1-4 right now. Instead, they're not. And got blown out last week against Arizona, which is to be expected. Matt Stafford got benched, throwing 3 interceptions. Also, that's to be expected. Not necessarily the benching part, but the 3 interceptions certainly is. This week, you're going up against a Chicago defense that's not quite what Arizona's defense is. So you got that going for you. At some point, the Lions have to play better than what they've been playing. They just have to. The Lions aren't a team that is as bad. They shouldn't be. Granted, again, shouldn't beat the Cards, or should beat the Seahawks. Probably should have beat the Chargers on opening week. So you're looking at potentially 2-3 teams that are being 0-5. But you know that's what they are, 0-5, winless. However, I think that changes this week. Even though Eric Ebron and Haloti Ngata are out, I've just got a feeling that the Bears are going to bear, and the Lions are going to squeak one out. Get the feeling. Even though they haven't played, even though the Bears haven't played terribly at all these past couple weeks, getting a nice little win against Oakland and Kansas City, which maybe that win against Kansas City isn't looking, and all that great considering the Chiefs are 1-4 right now. But I think the Chiefs are one of those teams that are better than their record indicates. So there's that. But for this game, give me the Lions. They finally get on the win column. And, who knows. They get the Vikings next week. And maybe they can string 2 wins together. Not they're going to do anything with them. But maybe they get on a little miniature win streak. Get that going. All right, now for my game. The Houston Texans take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Texans should have won last week against the Colts. The Matt Hasselbeck-led Colts, they didn't. They lost because they're a bad football team. We also should have beaten the Matt Hasselbeck-led Colts, and we didn't because we're a bad football team. Also should have beaten the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. Didn't because we're not a very good football team. We gave up 200-plus yards on the ground to Tampa Bay last week. And that is not a recipe for victory. It's just not. This week is really a game of is really a game of injured players. I think the two teams have 68 teams now with or players now with J.J. Watt being added to the injury list. 68 players that are just healthy combined between both teams. Certainly not a great amount. Injuries abound on both sides. I've somewhat given up trying to predict what the Jags are going to do. Again, we should have beaten the Colts, didn't. Should have beaten the Bucks, didn't. And then we come in this week against the Texans, and we should win. Should win. Will we? No idea. Texans do have weapons on offense, mainly DeAndre Hopkins. He could light us up, light our secondary up, our defense up, really. Brian Hoyer, is serviceable. Not terrible. Certainly not great. Arian Foster, who knows what you're going to get with Arian Foster. 200 yards out of him, you could get 20. Who knows? I'm going to take the Jags, again, just because we should win. Probably won't, because that's how things tend to go. But, win this week. Maybe win. Uh, win this week, maybe win, I think, next week against the Bills in London, which really you probably lose that game. It's a London game, and London games are weird. But yeah, win that. Go into 3-4 to bye with the Jets after that, and assuming I've got my weeks right, and yeah, maybe you can turn things around. Not really turn things around, but 3-4 looks a whole lot better than 1-6. So there's that. So, again, win this week. Hopefully we win next week. And then we got the bye, which everybody's happy because we have to see the Jags play. Not really a happy thing, but it'll be good. Get some players healthy. And, yeah, a very, very good thing. All right, next game, Kansas City Chiefs take on the Minnesota Vikings. Chiefs, again, 1-4, got beat last week. By the Bears, and Vikings, lost to Denver. Actually, no, they didn't. They were on a bye last week. This week, however, lost to Denver 2 weeks ago. This week, at the Chiefs, obviously. This week, I am going to severely overestimate the bye. Vikings are coming off one. Kansas City Chiefs, however, are coming off losing Jamaal Charles last week. You've got to figure that, you know, unless Niles Davis or Charcandrick West, which, by the way, thanks Favre for sniping him in every single one of our leagues that we're in together. Pretty sure you managed to do that. In at least two leagues, which I think that's as many as we share, but ended up getting snipes from all but one of my leagues. Yeah, I hope he's terrible. And Niles Davis could totally carry. Kansas City has the hope that they can have somebody in that backfield step up. Alex Smith has actually found a receiving weapon in Jeremy Maclin, who going into last week had catches in the previous two games, has a little bit more, obviously, this week. But, again, like I said, I'm going to drastically overestimate the power and restorative effects of the bye week, and I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings, as much as it pains me, because I don't like the Vikings. Don't like Adrian Peterson. And, there's that. Sadness. Sadness abounds is what that is. Bummer. I really wish the Vikings wouldn't win ever. Ever again. Next game. Washington Redskins take on the New York Jets. Redskins obviously should have won. Should have won last week and the Falcons didn't. Kirk Cousins gets picked off. Pick six in overtime to seal it. The Jets had a bye. Coming off the loss against Miami. But nonetheless, coming off a bye. And really, that's all that matters. That's my only analysis for this game, is Jets coming off a bye, and that means the Jets win. Ryan Fitzpatrick's still there. Chris Ivory gets a week to rest and get healthy, which is a good thing. Needed it. He's getting a little banged up. But, power of the bye strikes again, and the Jets get a W. Another W to put them up to 4-1. which is impressive. I never would have expected the Jets to be 4-1 going into week five, but here, or excuse me, 3-1 going into week five, potentially 4-1 after this week. So yeah, go Jets. Kind of nice to see somebody at least has to challenge the New England Patriots for the division. Not necessarily win and take it from them, but at the very least challenge it. So there's that. Go Jets. All right. Got our first caller. Is either Dutch or Butta calling in, or we should come on. Chat.
Hey, guys, it's Jersey Hauser. How you doing tonight?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, not too bad, not too bad. Hey, I got a good team here. Myself and two other guys are 4-1. I'm playing a guy that's 4-1. He's got 35 points between Ingram and Julio Jones. Here's my dilemma, guys. I got Brady's my quarterback. I got Bell as my receiver. I got Foster and I got Loss. I have Amari Cooper on a bye. I have Kamir Aiken starting and Travis Benjamin actually starting because you start two of them. And I could use a third as a flex, but I'm using Lewis. I also picked up Sammy Watkins. Here's my question. I also have Devontae Adams. Now, right now in my lineup, I have Aiken and I have Benjamin because it is a PPR league. Between Watkins, Benjamin, and Aikens, which two do I start, number one? And then after that, do I take a bold move and do I drop Devontae Adams to pick up LaFell? I had LaFell last year. He could come off the pulp list on week seven. And I have Brady. That would be my second question.
All right, so you've got Aiken, Benjamin,
and
Watkins. All right.
Wait, out of those three, which two would I start PPR league? I know Benjamin's got a tough matchup against Denver, and I started Cooper last week, and he gave me 8. But again, Talib may have an ankle issue, but that defense only has given up one touchdown there, you know, through the air. I think Steve Smith will be out, so Kamir Aiken in the PPR league, he was targeted 10 times. He gave me 4 receptions, and I think 70-some yards. I got 11.5 points out of him, so he might not be a bad play. So maybe between Benjamin and Watkins doesn't have Manually is more of a throwback in the pocket quarterback, but I know 3 or 4 times last year when he was in there, I don't think Watkins got over 30 yards. It doesn't mean it couldn't change. So this is just some stuff that I've come across. Wanted to see what you thought about that between those three.
Yeah, I mean, I think with that, Benjamin, honestly, I'm not super comfortable really with any of those guys. I think Benjamin is, you got to go Benjamin for one, just because the big playability is there. I know it's Denver. That defense is legit, absolutely. But you know, if you got to take a gamble, I think Benjamin is one. Watkins. I'm sorry.
I think McCoy may be playing, but do you need on a Watkins situation? Do you need to take a seat and like wait and see him play a game and see what happens before you would play him? Since he hasn't played, I don't know if he'll be on a pitch count versus the other two won't be on a pitch count. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I need to win. I mean, because we're both 4-1. So, you know, again, it's like pick your poison because Devontae Adams would have been my fourth option, but he's not going to be playing. So, you know what I mean?
And Cooper's on by. Yeah, it's a little rough. And it's like, you know, Watkins is coming back from injury, plus the fact that that Manuel is I don't know what to expect from EJ. I really don't. And given the fact that it's coming up against the Bengals, I don't know. So, I mean, a lot of these are kind of stabs in the dark. But I'd definitely say Benjamin for one, and then I guess probably Aiken for the other spot.
Yeah, because right now Aiken, they're in my league. It's a Yahoo, say 12.89 points. Benjamin, like 11.22. And 9.87 is roughly what they're saying with Watkins. But like I said, I know Watkins got his mouth open saying he wants to be targeted more, which they may, but then you also got McCoy who may come back. They may want to run the ball. So it's one of them situations where you don't know. Now, Jimmy Graham did get targeted a little bit more a couple weeks ago when he opened his mouth. So it's like you pick your poison. I mean, Cooper is always my starter, but he's on a bye, and then I do it.
Yeah.
And I guess my second question is, do I like Brady, who's my quarterback, over Rodgers? Devontae Adams is the third option there when he does come back because he does love Cobb. He loves James Jones. If James Jones wasn't there and Devontae didn't get hurt, Devontae would be a stud. I mean, I wasted, a fifth pick in two leagues with him, and he just got a bit of dud. Do you take a bowl and drop a guy like him and pick up Brandon LaFell? Because by next week, somebody may take him if he comes off the pole. Because he's been working out now, running, I think, the past 2 weeks of practice. I think he had ankle surgery or something. I do have Brady, because basically LaFell's a long guy. Yeah, you're under the middle guy is Edelman. You got Gronk. And I mean, then you got Lewis out of the backfield. I do have Lewis, usually it's my flex. Are you aggressive today, tonight, or tomorrow? Sunday morning and drop Devontae Adams and pick up LaFell to have on there since I have Brady? Or what's your gut feeling telling you on that? That's my last question.
All right. Yeah. I think it depends on how you honestly feel about rolling with a quarterback wide receiver tandem. I know I recently that is fallen out of favor with me quite a bit because it seems like more often than not, whenever your quarterback has a poor game, you're gonna suffer in two spots instead of suffering in one. Obviously, with rolling Brady out there, the chances of poor performance are a little bit less than other quarterbacks that you could be running out there. But if you're comfortable with it, having a quarterback and wide receiver, then pull the trigger. Because like you mentioned,
right.
Oh, go ahead.
Because most of the time, after this week, I'm always playing Cooper probably regardless of the matchup, unless he's playing Denver, which I think he does week 16. And I know against Denver he only got, let's say, last week 8 points. So if I'm in the final at that point, then I got to see who I would play. Probably going forward, if he's healthy, I would probably end up point-wise or talent-wise out of what I have left would be Watkins, you know what I mean? And like I said, Aiken, I picked up last week because I dropped Bolden, and then Bolden went off last week. He didn't do anything for the first 4 weeks. But Aiken's consistent. Then I've never started. It's consistently, for the last 3 weeks, like a top eight receiver, you know what I mean? So, right now, I mean, you hate to drop a guy like Devontae Adams if he does come back. Now, Adams could be a stud if something happens to Jones. Or right now we know Cobb has shoulder issues, which may linger all the way through the season. And will he lose time? I don't know. So, again, that's a three-headed monster, and so would LaFell be. You know what I mean? I mean, last year I had LaFell, I had Sanders, and I had the one that took a dub on me was Brandon Marshall. And I had Gordon all year, and Gordon was a flopper. So, I mean, I did well.
Yeah.
I had two losses, and then I lost, the week 15 because – I just had bad matchups, We've both been we've had crappy teams and won. I've had good teams and lost, all about the matchups. So that's why before I pulled the trigger in the morning, I wanted to see what you were, what your, again, input was or feeling as to what I was looking to do. Am I looking to play LaFell most of the time? Maybe not. Probably LaFell and Adams would be bench players that I would just be holding on there so somebody couldn't use them against me more or less because of Watkins and Cooper, are on fire. But when I went on another site that I have that I can see what these guys would do on a weekly basis, let's say from week 9 to week 16, LaFell was given more points on a weekly basis, not by a lot, but was beating Devontae Adams, you know what I mean? So that's why I figured, let me ask you and see what you thought. I guess it's pick your poison, you know what I mean?
Pretty much.
Yeah, because like I said, wide receiver-wise, my fourth one is Jeremy Hill. The only time he'll see there is if I use a flex or, because like I said, Foster's week 9, Bell's week 11. Deion Lewis already had his bye. So, you know, I have him. I tried to trade him the last, like, 2 weeks. Really no takers. After he had those three touchdowns, I was looking for, like, another better receiver. I actually, idiot me, before last week's game, I told one of the guys in the league, I said, hey, I'll give you Foster for Thomas. I'm glad I didn't do it because Manning's done. He's shot. That shoulder from last year, he's never picked up. He's just as bad this year. And I've watched some of those games. So, you know, I don't like those receivers on a basis. Now, if Foster stays healthy, I mean, I got him, like, I think in the seventh round. He's a steal. But, again, if he stays healthy, hope he does. But I think I'll take that gamble because I just don't like this league. Nobody really – there hasn't been any trades. They just don't do trades. You know, some leagues do. These guys just in a 12-man PPR just don't – they just do trades. So that's why I'm thinking to myself, all right, what do I do? Somebody dropped Watkins last week. I got him on the waiver wire. I think I was like 10th on there. But I got him. I figured, hey, here's a guy here. If he does well, because Junior – had him in his top league last year. He was so-so because he was hurt. But he has talent compared to the rest of my guys on the roster. Him and Cooper, if he's healthy, those two could be rolling out every week and not worry about Benjamin or Aiken or Devontae Adams or Brennan LaFell. But going forward, if I don't pick him up this week, now Devontae Adams does have a bye week 7, is Aikens a better guy on my roster than, say, Devontae Adams going forward? Is Aikens going to be the number two guy when Steve Smith comes back? Because I had Steve Smith last year in a standard league. And, yes, halfway through the season, man, he was like a gangbuster like he was doing this year. And then, man, he dropped off the earth so bad you never know he was still alive. You know what I mean? So see that happen again. You know what I mean? So, if you look at week 2 and week 4, I think he gave maybe 18 points in each of those games. And then week 5 was the first week he didn't have Steve Smith. And, he was targeted 9 times, got 4 for, like I said, 75 yards, and I got 11.5. So, ain't too shabby. He's not a number one, but, you know, he's not bad. He gets double digits, you know what I mean? So that's why I want to see what your feeling was also, too. Because Aiken, yes, I do need this week for sure. And, like I said, I probably need Benjamin because Watkins might be – you got to wait and see. Let's see a game. Let's see him get through the game. Let's see what kind of reps he plays. Let's see if he's targeted. Because, again, it's Manuel and it's not that other guy. So Manuel's more of a like the in-pocket passer. So that's why I figured let me get your input. I mean, I've won 5 championships in the last 7 years. Not that I know everything, but some of the guys you talk to like yourself are different. They know – over the years, this person's done this with them. They've done this, which I don't keep up with. I just look at and see what's going on this year. Like, I couldn't say, all right, Foster goes against Jacksonville, and the last 7 years, he tears them up or something. You know what I mean? These are things that some of you guys on these shows have that knowledge on there, and you know, I don't. I can say, oh, well, yeah, remember last year he did good or this or that. So that's why I want to see what you thought about what I was thinking about doing. Is that the right thing? Or do I just, you know, like with the Devontae Adams thing, do I sit tight? You know, do you eventually drop Aiken and keep Adams? Because if Steve Smith goes back, again, Pearman, I think he might be out for the year. I don't know. I mean, I know he re-aggravated whatever he had hurt in preseason. So that's why I said I wanted to get your input and see what you thought as to what I was thinking of doing to see if good or bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you mentioned Aiken, and I think he kind of gets the benefit because that Ravens receiving core is there is nobody essentially behind Steve Smith, so somebody has to step up, and if it's Aiken, you know, that's great, but it kind of helps in that situation just because there's nobody there, so.
Right. Yeah, it's bad. I mean, like I said, it's, you know, I watch some of their stuff. You know, you go to the channel, you watch the red channel, red, you know, not feature game. In Jersey, it's usually the Eagles or whatever like that. But that's what I'm saying. It's, you know, one of them situations where they got to throw the ball. I mean, 4 sets hurt. I think Baltimore in San Francisco. You know, San Francisco does play better at home, kind of like New Orleans does. kind of like Atlanta. And I called that one with Atlanta. I said, you know something? My daughter, my son goes, ask my daughter's coming with the baby. So then I saw her husband call up. I said, I guarantee she's pregnant again. And so she was, you know. But she's doing things. And then I was telling the wife, I said, yo, I said, I guarantee you New Orleans beats Atlanta tonight. I just had a gut feeling it was a do or die for them. They play well at home, and damn if they didn't. So, again, not that I always pick my guys right here. I mean, I'm usually, for the most of the time, pretty good, but I figure, you know, I just wanted to talk to somebody before tomorrow I do any moves, what, you know, somebody else thought, you know, am I in thinking correctly on this, or, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't, because I'm sure somebody will try to pick up LaFell, whether it be this week or next week, if they're aggressive on the stuff like I normally am, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
but that's why I wanted to see what you thought between Davante Adams and LaFell.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if my advice helps at all, but at least you got a little second opinion.
I appreciate,
helps,
your opinion.
So.
Yep. Best of luck to you this weekend, too. I thank you very much.
You too.
It's been a pleasure. And enjoy your time. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
All right. No problem, man. Thanks.
Have a good day. Take care. Yep. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Yep.
All right. Random fantasy segment. I can turn those down because those are fantasy is fun. That's why. And always entertaining. You know, I feel like I give out decent fantasy advice. So, there's that. All right, got a few minutes left. Let's see, what game do we want to jump around to? Let's see, Washington and the Jets. Jets coming off a bye. Said that, leaning heavily into the Jets or into the bye this week. So, Jets win. I guess we'll just run through these real quick. Cardinals. Going into Pittsburgh. I don't know what San Diego was doing last week. That shouldn't have happened. Yet another team losing you lost to the Mike Vick-led Steelers. Antonio Brown had his streak of at least five catches in the game. That got broken. Only put up four Chargers. This should be pretty easy. Carson Palmer is on fire. Cardinals defense is doing great. And then Vic again. I don't trust Vic. I don't know necessarily why. Really, anybody would trust Vic, but there's that. And I especially, particularly. Don't trust them going up against Arizona's defense. So give me the Arizona Cardinals. Miami against Tennessee. Miami coming off a bye with in states. Dan Campbell as their new head coach. And I have faith in Dan Campbell that he's going to right this Dolphins ship. And everything's going to be all right. Dolphins are going to be who we thought they were. Granted, it's a little late at this point. 1-3, so that's not good at all. But he's gonna right ship. Everything's gonna be all right. Gonna turn things around. Dolphins are finally gonna be looking good again. And they're coming off a bye, so that's why I got this. All right, give me the Dolphins in that. Carolina and Seattle. Seattle loses last week. Seattle keeps losing. It is the best. And yet again, Carolina Pan coming off of what? Coming off of a bye. Yes. And what are they going to do? They're going to win. That's right. They're going to win. Not sure who's Cam. Not sure who Cam is throwing to. Ted Ginn had a couple touchdowns in the last game. Greg Olsen is usually solid. Jonathan Stewart, the running back. Who knows what you're going to get. Going up against that Seattle defense. They're going to win because it's a bye. And Carolina has solid enough defense to get things done against Seattle. Cam has to be Superman. That's going to happen. All right, San Diego Chargers go into Green Bay. Packers win, unless the two picks that or the picks Aaron Rodgers threw last week that broke his broke his home stats, his pickless home streak, until dating back to 2012 or whatever, his ridiculous stats, finally threw some picks. Unless that's some terrible downward spiral for Mr. Rodgers, then maybe San Diego wins. But if not, and the Packers are their usual Packers selves, then they've got this handled. Because San Diego kind of sucks. All right, Ravens going to San Francisco, and San Francisco played the New York Giants. Yay, enunciation. Played the Giants hard on Sunday night. Not hard enough to win, but pretty hard. And you got the Ravens as our previous caller mentioned, Justin Forsett is banged up. They just IR'd Talaferro, so you're rolling with a banged up Justin Forsett and Buck Allen at running back. Not your best situation. Plus, you have no one to throw to. Steve Smith is still out. So that's just that hurts your feelings. This game honestly is a coin flip. I have no idea really which direction to go. So I guess I will take the home team and the San Francisco 49ers. Probably shouldn't. Probably gonna regret that, but I'll do it anyway. Sunday Night Football, the most disappointing game of the week. The New England Patriots take on the Indianapolis Colts. Colts have no chance. They're going to get crushed. They're going to get demolished. And then the narrative after that game is going to be incessant. Oh, the Patriots got their revenge. And it's going to be like that till the AFC Championship and or Super Bowl. That's how long it's going to last, because that's how long these stupid things generally last. It's stupid. It's dumb. I hate it. And Patriots win, much to my chagrin. Will not be watching any of that game tomorrow night. Monday night, though, much better game. New York Giants traveling to Philadelphia. Giants, obviously, got to win Monday night against the 49ers. Eagles are coming off a nice win against the New Orleans Saints. However, the Giants are legit. I think Giants are for real, and the Giants have bounced back nicely from their 0-2 start. Turn that thing right around, and they're going to get a win in Philly. Philly's not any good. I don't care that they beat up on New Orleans. Don't care. New Orleans isn't any good either. Giants going to win, and that is that. Made it through all the games. Had a nice little fantasy segment. Decent show, if I do say so myself, and I do. So, that is the show. Until next week, happy football. Good luck with your real-life teams, your fantasy teams, your DFS teams, whatever teams you have, maybe even your baseball teams, since we're in baseball playoffs now. So, happy everything. Till next week, peace.